It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm your host, Amber May. Today we're going to be talking about sex. Yep, that's what I said. We're going to be talking about sex today. And you might be surprised that a lot of people within our church really struggle with this issue. We're going to be talking with Pastor Stan Whitney. He's the pastor of Care and Counseling at Bethany Bible Church. And he's going to talk to us about how we can really overcome it if we have a problem that we're dealing with sexual addiction, or if we know of someone. We're going to be talking about how we can help these people or help ourselves overcome these addictions. So don't go away, because after the break, we're going to be talking to Pastor Stan.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance Agency. We're your one-stop solution to quality insurance. We offer personalized coverage for your home, auto, life, and business needs. Let the office of Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance help you get back to where you belong. We offer life insurance and universal life plans to protect your family. We're here for your financial needs while offering IRA tax-sheltered annuities, too. Let us protect your insurance needs along with bringing you peace of mind. Let us insure your future. Paul Lorenz Farmers Insurance. Call 623-925-9411. 623-925-9411.
Hi, this is Amber May, and I found some of the best burgers and gyros in town, and I have to tell you about it. You have to go visit Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria, right in the Target Shopping Plaza on the southwest corner. This is a family-owned and operated business, and they have awesome food. They even have the Amber May special. So if you're hungry, make sure you go check out Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue in Peoria. Everything is made fresh, and they have a $2.99 burger and fries special. That's at Wally Burger on 43rd Avenue and Peoria.
Come and visit my parents' restaurant and make sure you check out the Amber May special while you are there. It's so good!
With the rapid pace of technology advancements, purchasing computers or networking your business's workstations can become confusing and frustrating. Let LPGA Technology Control help provide answers to all your computer-related needs. Whether you have one computer or a 50 workstation network, we can help plot a course to make the best use of your investment. LPGA Technology Control provides consulting, installation, and upgrade products and services for systems of all sizes. Visit us on the web at www.lpga.net or give us a call at 623-873-8888. That's 623-873-8888.
This is the Amber May Show.
Welcome back to the Amber May Show. Please sponsor my sponsors. Because of them, they keep me on the air. So if you need any computer help, please check out LP&J for all your technology needs. And there's a link on my website at theambermayshow.podbean.com. Look under sponsors and you will see a link to all of my sponsors. And you can go to them for all your computer needs. And for Farmers Insurance, if you need some insurance, check out my link on our website for Farmers Insurance. Welcome, Pastor Stan, to the show.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
I really appreciate you coming out. I've been doing some research, and I was surprised to understand how many people within our church are struggling with this issue in silence.
It's a huge problem.
And it makes me really sad, because I'm sure a lot of people feel hopeless, like they can't overcome it. But we're here to tell you today that you can. And the Bible lays out that we don't have to be defeated in a sin, because Christ conquered it once and for all. And I know Paul talks about it in Romans. We hear about it in Galatians. And the sad thing is, if we don't stop it now, because I've been telling you about being on God's standards, I've asked you to make a pact with your family that you and your family will do as Joshua says, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. But that means in all things, that means that we're going to leave a godly lifestyle, because if we're not leaving a godly lifestyle, we cannot be the salt and light of the earth. We can't go out and effectively witness to someone, because people are going to be looking at us as someone that needs to be different, because we're supposed to be set apart from the world. We need to be Christ-like. So they're looking at us to see what attributes do we have that are Christ-like. So when you're dealing with addictions such as sexual addiction, like pornography or whatever it may be, you're not only hurting yourself. And I talked about this before, that sin is like a pyramid. It doesn't just affect you. It starts with you, and it branches. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So maybe you're a dad, and you brought it in your home. Maybe your grandfather introduced it to you, so now you have a problem with it. You brought it in your home. Now maybe your children are exposed, whether you know or not know about it. They found the stash. Now your wife is really upset because you're getting off on another female that doesn't belong to you. Exactly. And the Bible talks about that with when you lust after a female. So now your wife is brokenhearted because you're looking at something that's not supposed to be there. And see how it just branches out and
the
branches
effects,
out.
By the way. By the way, the effects on the woman for you using regular usage of pornographic materials, whether it be Hustler or Playboy or the internet, the effect that that has on your wife is exactly the same effect that it would have if you were actually having an affair with another woman.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah. It's true. This is one of the things that, you know, this is sort of supposed to be the sin that really doesn't hurt anybody. This is the sin that a person does or in private of their own den or of their own office. And they can sort of get online whatever they want and do that. Or it's a magazine hidden in a briefcase to be read on inside another magazine on an airplane perhaps or something that's perpetrated in a motel room away from family, away from friends, away from anybody that knows you. But the problem is that it is always found out. God promises that if you are a Christian, your sin will find you out somehow, somewhere. And why is that? Because God does not want you to live this way. He does not want you to do this to yourself and to your family and to your friends and other folks, of course. But when your wife finds that magazine that's got dog-eared pages, or when she overlooks your shoulders some evening and accidentally catches you, you've nodded off for a minute or something. Anyway, you are caught. What goes through her mind as far as her own worth goes, her own desirability to you, the esteem in which you hold her is assaulted in the same way as if you had a girlfriend down the street and you went out at 5 o'clock in the evening and didn't come home until 9 and she knew about it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So you're really
devastating.
Destroying her self-image.
You really are.
And betraying her.
Exactly.
So let's go back to some scriptures now. So we identified how traumatic this addiction is.
Right.
We've established that we can't overcome it by ourselves. We established that it doesn't just affect us, it affects people around us.
Mm-hmm.
We established that it's a cancer and it grows and it starts eating us away. We realize that there's 5 stages and the final one is acting out. And hopefully you have never been there and will never go there if you are dealing with this, but that possibility of you opening yourself up there is that you're going to act out publicly. So now that we established how disease-ridden this addiction is, we have hope. And what is our hope, Pastor Stan?
Well, the hope really on one hand is Jesus Christ and what he does. There's a wonderful verse that says, "There hath no temptation taken thee, but such as is common to a man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. But along with the temptation will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So the first thing to bear in mind is that God loves you. He adores you. You are his child. You cannot commit a sin that will drive a wedge between you and God. The second thing to seek out is people that will love you. The trouble with the church nowadays is, or not nowadays, this has been a problem with the church forever. It's not a place for sick folks or folks that are terribly in need of healing. When our new senior pastor got to our church, this is the most amazing guy. He was the most accepting and forgiving man I think I've ever seen, in the sense that he really put a lot of muscle behind what he was talking about. First thing he did with me was he handed me a book, and the title of this book was The Safest Place on Earth. And he said, "Stan, I want to have a church like this. I want to have a church where broken, beat up, battered people can come and feel at home."
Amen.
"And I want to have people in this church. I want to have people greet them and put an arm around them and love them like they really mean it. Well, in our church now, we have bikers, we have people that are recovering from drugs, we have people that are recovering from alcohol. My best friend, or one of my best friends, is the leader of our sexual recovery group.
Oh, good.
And he's been through the mill. Wonderful guy. But anyway, the picture is this. If we look at the sixth chapter of Galatians, and just for a second, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, and that simply means you who are spiritually mature, should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, not condemnation, not, gee, you know, Fred, you really ought to be doing this. If you were any kind of a good Christian at all, you wouldn't be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my kids should play with your kids, you know, really. I don't, you know, this is a sort of thing mm-hmm. I get. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. You know, it's very fine to look down your nose
right.
at somebody, but don't be surprised if your nose starts to grow too. Bear one another's burdens, and in so fulfill the law of Christ. And this is very interesting, because the Greek word used for bearing another's burdens is different from the word used at the end of verse 5 there, that says that somebody, that a person should bear their own load. This first instance, bear another person's burdens, is a word that means a burden that is so heavy that one person cannot possibly carry it. So this is an opportunity to demonstrate Christ's love to somebody who picked the burden up for us that none of us could carry. It was crushing. So in doing that, we fulfill the law of Christ. We pick up another man's burden. We help him carry it. And at the end of verse 5 there, one of the other principles is, after this has been done for you, then you keep it going by keeping watch over yourself. What do? You get an accountability partner. You get a great friend. You get a pastor. You get a mentor who has a vital interest in you. And you say, you know, I've been struggling, and I would love you to come alongside of me and help me through this. It is an honor for that person
absolutely.
To do it. An absolute honor. The other thing that I wanted to talk about, just quickly. You know, we all love Romans. There's mm-hmm. more good stuff in Romans than anywhere else. In chapter 7, Paul talks about lamenting his sin, how he's been caught in this, and how he's struggling. And he makes a comment that's kind of cryptic. He says, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now, I just want your listeners to realize what he's talking about there. The Romans had a little custom along about the first century, in which a condemned man was taken, and the body of a dead man was actually tied to his back. And as the body rotted, mm-hmm. it infected the healthy flesh mm-hmm. of the condemned man, and so condemned him to a horrible death as well. Well, Paul, and maybe some of you listeners, and I know myself, in different areas of my life, have struggled with sin. And the weight of this is crushing.
Right.
It is absolutely crushing. You would do anything to get rid of this. The way we get rid of this is to expose it, open the door on it, admit it to somebody. James says, if we confess our faults one to another, we shall be healed.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you let the light in on it. The darkness is dispelled. You have courage enough to say, I'm doing this. Help me. When we do that, Paul, in the famous verse that is such balm to the ears of any Christian, in Romans 8:1, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Christ does not hold you accountable for this. What is keeping you in your sin is the darkness of this sin.
Right.
If you come out of this darkness and expose it and allow people to work with you on it, you can get rid of this.
Amen.
You can.
There is hope. You don't have
there
to deal
hope.
With
there
it.
There is hope. There's more than hope. There is an assurity. And, you know, you've got the angelic cheerleading squad going along with you, too.
And doesn't Hebrews say that do we not have a high priest that was tempted in all things just like us?
Well, you know something? Something that's really, really interesting about therefore we have not a high priest who is untouched. And one of the translations says, by the feeling of our infirmities. Christ not only knows the temptations, but he knows the burden and the weight and the horror and the rest of it that comes with them.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he ever succumbed to any
right.
of these, but he knows how awful the temptation is. When he's in the garden on his last night on earth, and he's sweating blood, which, by the way, is physically possible. It is physically possible to subcutaneously, if you will, right under the skin, to be in such great pressure or anxiety that you break little capillaries right under the skin, and you could, through your pores, sweat blood, as he said. To be under that amount of temptation to just simply get up and leave. Father, would you take this cup from me, please? Three times.
Mm-hmm.
And he
three
didn't.
Times.
And then he didn't.
Let your will be done.
He was strengthened, and he said, your will be done. That is the champion that we have. That is the person that has experienced all of this. You can have, but will you get rid of this immediately? No,
no,
you will not. Will God somehow miraculously deliver you from all of this? He does sometimes, but not often. Will you work your way through this, and will the work be valuable? Yes, it will.
Let me read you about a personal testimony, and you can find this on, it's an article, Hidden Shame, the Growing Problem of Sexual Addiction.
Mm.
And this really kind of illustrates what Pastor Stan was saying. Will you overcome it? Absolutely, you can. Is it going to be overnight really easy? No, it's going to be a struggle. But it says, he was trapped in a secret addiction to lust on which he spent more and more time and money. He says, I desperately wanted to remove all my lust. I became angry with God that he wouldn't do that. Many addicts have an agenda that they want the Lord to do it. We want God to be the person who magically fixes the problem. That's why the first step is to admit that I have no control over my life or over God or over my addiction. So basically he was saying that he just wanted it magically to go away.
Mm-hmm. Would you trade that? Would you trade it for to magically go away for the effort that it would take relying on God, trusting God little by little to emerge from this thing, and then finally one day to stand in front of him and for Jesus to give you the wonderful smile and say, man, you did a great job doing that.
I'm so proud of you.
You listened to me, and you did it. Boy, we did it. And you just did a wonderful job. And for that, here's a tremendous reward for you.
And to go along with that, there might be a person that's going to come in your life one day who's going to give you the honor of helping them overcome
Absolutely.
Their problem. And you're going
you
to
bet.
Be able to walk them through and you say, bet. I know exactly what you're going through. I've mm-hmm. been there. I've done it. And I can tell you from experience, you're going to overcome this. And well, you're going to walk with them step by step.
God will absolutely use your life if this is so. He never wastes any of that.
So if there is anyone who is listening and wants to seek help, wants to admit that they have a problem, do you know of any places they can go here in the Valley?
Yeah, I really do. Here's the thing. I would seek out a church that has a program called Celebrate Recovery. And the reason I say that is that that church is already predisposed to people who are struggling. It's not like walking in the cold. Our church does that. I know that Christ Church of the Valley mm-hmm. has done that kind of thing. Scottsdale Bible Church definitely does that.
Okay.
And there would be others. I would ask a church if they have a program for sexual addiction recovery. And you will find more churches now that are open to that sort of thing than before, thank God.
You know what? It's everywhere. You really can't escape it. It's on the movies. It's on TV. It's in music. It's in magazines. It's everywhere. Billboards. Everywhere you turn, it's in your face. So it's a real struggle for people who are dealing with this because they can't escape it. So if you are dealing with this, thank you for coming and telling us that there's places we can go to get help. Yeah. And if someone does come up to you and wants you to be their coach or their mentor or their helper, don't smock them. Don't ridicule them. Help them. This is your chance to show God's love to them because they're hurting people and they need help. And show them God's love. This is your opportunity today. Well, I want to thank you, Pastor Stan, for being on the program today.
Well, I've loved being here. I could just one last word, if I could just remind all the dear folks that are listening that God loves you. He doesn't love you because you're good looking or you act nicely or any of that. He chose you. He loves you. So.
Amen.
It's time now for your Love Dare Challenge.
Love fights fair. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. Mark 3:25. Like it or not, conflict in marriage is simply inevitable. When you tie the knot as bride and groom, you join not only your hopes and dreams, but also your hurts, fears, imperfections, and emotional baggage. From the moment you unpacked from your honeymoon, you began the real process of unpacking one another, unpleasantly discovering how sinful and selfish each of you can be. Pretty soon, your mate started to slip off your lofty pedestal and you off theirs. The forced closeness of marriage begins stripping away your public facades, exposing your private problems and secret habits. Welcome to fallen humanity. At the same time, the storms of life begin testing and revealing what you're really made of. Work demands, health issues, in-law arguments, and financial needs flared up in varying degrees, adding pressure and heat to the relationship. This sets the stage for disagreements to break out between the two of you. You argued and fought, you hurt, you experienced conflict, but you are not alone. Every couple goes through it. It's part of the course, but not every couple survives it. So don't think that living out today's dare will drive all conflict from your marriage. Instead, this is about dealing with conflict in such a way that you come out healthier on the other side, both of you together. The deepest, most heartbreaking damage you'll ever do or have ever done to your marriage will most likely occur in the thick of conflict. That's because this is where your pride is strongest, your anger is hottest, and you're most selfish and judgmental. Your words contain the most venom, and you make the worst decisions. A great marriage on Monday can start driving off the cliff on Tuesday if unbridled conflict takes over and neither of you has a foot on the brakes. But love steps in and changes things. Love reminds you that your marriage is too valuable to allow it to self-destruct, and that your love for your spouse is more important than whatever you're fighting about. Love helps you install airbags and to set up guardrails in your relationships. It reminds you that conflict can actually be turned around for good. Married couples who learn to work through conflict tend to be closer, more trusting, more intimate, and enjoy a much deeper connection afterwards. But how? The wisest way is to learn to fight clean by establishing healthy rules of engagement. If you don't have guidelines for how you'll approach hot topics, you won't stay in bounds when the action heats up. Basically, there are two types of boundaries for dealing with conflict: we boundaries and me boundaries. We boundaries are rules that we both agree on beforehand, rules that apply during any fight or altercation. And each of you have the right to gently but directly enforce these if these rules are violated. These could include: we will never mention divorce, we will not bring up old unrelated items from the past, we will never fight in public or in front of our children, we will call a timeout if conflict escalates to a damaging level, we will never touch one another in a harmful way, we will never go to bed angry with one another, or failure is not an option. Whatever it takes, we will work this out. Me boundaries are rules you personally practice on your own. Here are some of the most effective examples. I will listen before speaking. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1:19. I will deal with my own issues up front. Why do you look at the specks from your brother's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Matthew 7:3. I will speak gently and keep my voice down. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Fighting fair means changing your weapons, disagreeing with dignity. It should result in building a bridge instead of burning one down. Remember, love is not a fight, but it's always worth fighting for. This dare for this week may be challenging, but I hope you will practice it. And our dare is, talk with your spouse about establishing healthy rules of engagement. If your mate is not ready for this, then write out your own rules to fight by. Resolve to abide by them when the next disagreement occurs. In your journal, if your spouse participated with you, what was their response? What rules did you write for yourself?
That's been your Double Dog Love Dare.
I hope this program has been a blessing for you today. If so, please let me know. Write to me, 2800 North 44th Street, Suite 100, Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. You can also email me at theambermayshow.podbean.com. And remember, the key is to expose it to the light, the issues that we have, whatever sin may be in your life, exposing it to the light and getting an accountability partner, someone to walk by you, stand beside you, so you can get help getting past whatever sin is bogging you down. None of us are perfect, and if we were, then Christ didn't need to come and die on the cross, but he did. And in Hebrews it says, Christ Jesus was tempted in all things. So whatever things are tempting you right now, Christ knows and he understands, because he was tempted in all things. But the difference between us and him is he never succumbed to any of his temptations. He always overcame it. And because we have Christ Jesus within us, we can do the same thing through the Holy Spirit. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, think about number two, because eventually number two will look out for you. Take care.